name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is April 4th, year 2010, and it's Easter Sunday. Christ is truly risen.
Hallelujah.
And don't let the Jews
lie to you,
or the Muslims, or anyone else lie to you. Christ has truly risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As a matter of fact, I just spoke to him this morning. You don't believe me? Tough. That's your problem. Christ is truly risen. All right. Now we're going to we'll start out with our Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And speaking about lying Jews, we're going to get right off the bat, and we're going to expose a lying Jew, especially this month of March, what took place. Something I've been talking about a lot with Zionism, how that's the real master plan of the Antichrist to come to power. And we mentioned this many times, that he opposes the true Christ, and the apostate Jews are the number one enemies of Christ. So are the Muslims, so are the Mormons, so are the Protestants. Even Protestants don't believe in the true Christ. But we're picking on the apostate Jews in particular, because they're the main force, the number one linchpins and gangsters that are bringing the Antichrist to power. Because they rejected the true Christ, they're bringing their Christ to power, who's really the Antichrist. Jesus said that in John 5:43, I come in the name of the Father, and you receive me not, but another will come in his own name, and you will receive him. And that's the Antichrist. And because they rejected the true Christ, they still believe the old covenant is still in effect, they still believe Judaism is a valid religion, and they're still going on with the old rituals, which really ended when Christ died, and they're preparing that right now. They reoccupied Israel, Jerusalem. They don't belong there. And we're going to start out, and as I told you, the real issue at hand here about who owns Jerusalem and who owns Israel is crucial to our faith. Because if you answer that question wrong, you're going to fall out of the church on heresies. Because Jerusalem and Israel was made sanctified by the most precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of not only the old covenant prophets and prophecies and sacrifices, but going back from the time of Adam and Eve. He fulfilled all these prophecies about the Messiah who was going to come and redeem mankind. His blood made holy Jerusalem. His blood made holy Israel. Israel belongs to the Catholic Church. It belongs to Catholics. Done deal. Catholics are the only ones during the New Covenant era who have a permanent right to Jerusalem. I say permanent right because bad Catholics don't have a right to occupy it. And God will at times, and he has done. When Catholics become very bad in great numbers, he even kicks them out of Jerusalem and lets some pagan or infidel come in and occupy it as a punishment to bad Catholics. The Jews know about that because during the Old Covenant era, whenever the Jews went bad, what did God do? He kicked them out of the Promised Land. He kicked them out of Jerusalem. He even destroyed their temple by King Nebuchadnezzar. Destroyed their temple and cast them out and took them into captivity. But even during that Old Covenant era, Jerusalem then did belong to the Jews and to the synagogue because it was in force and in effect at that time. And Judaism was the valid religion back then. But even they, when they were not faithful to God, were casted out of the Promised Land. Moses said that in Deuteronomy, I think, is 23, one of the Deuteronomy verses, where all the curses come down upon the Jews. He said, if you are faithful to me, all these blessings I will pile upon you, and nobody will ever cast you out of the land of promise, as long as you remain faithful to me. But if you do not remain faithful to me, all these curses will come upon you. I will destroy you by the sword and by the famine. I will bring you into captivity. I will cast you out of the Promised Land. I will curse you, and I will make you a curse to wherever you go, so you're going to be more evil than the evildoers. Read the book of Deuteronomy. The Jews know this. But they still had the permanent right to Jerusalem, but not the temporary right when they were evil. They were cast out. During the New Covenant era, when Christ died on the cross, he replaced the Old Covenant with the New Covenant. And these are the things that happened when Christ died and rose again. These are all dogmas that Catholics are bound to believe. Now, I say this to Catholics who don't know the faith. Catechumens are studying to come into the church. Pre-catechumens, people who may want to come into the church. People who have been deceived like I was deceived. I wish I heard me about 20 years ago give this sermon because I was an idiot. I was the worst, stupidest person that ever walked the face of the earth. I didn't know the scriptures. I didn't know dogmas. I didn't even know what a dogma was. I didn't know what a heresy was or what a heretic was. We were living in the midst of all of them, that's why. And everybody was dummied up.
Yeah.
D&D, deaf and dumb. Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. We were a bunch of gangsters, you know, I didn't want to expose one another. I knew nothing. But I'm not trying to rail on people who don't know anything. I'm trying to help the ones that want to learn. But I'm rebuking the priests that call themselves Catholic. I'm rebuking these apostate antipopes. Bad bishops that were supposed to teach us. And they taught nothing. And whatever they did teach good, they never backed it up by enforcing their good laws. They never casted out the evildoers. They never raised up their voice on high against the evils in the world to protect us. They never taught us properly. The purpose of this sermon today is to prove to you all the things that happened when Jesus Christ died and rose again. When Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, the old covenant died and rose as the new covenant. The Jewish race, as God's chosen people, died and rose as Christians, as God's only chosen people during the New Covenant era. And only Catholics are Christians, only true Catholics, not even Protestants. I was talking to a guy about a week ago. We were doing our walk out here, our penitential walk out to the ranch. His name was David, seemed to be of good will. He was listening to us. And he's telling me, well, don't you just have to believe in Jesus? I says, no, you have to believe, first of all, you got to believe in the true Jesus. He goes, what do you mean by that? Protestants don't believe in the true Jesus. And he goes, well, why not? I said, they don't believe in the Jesus that created the Catholic Church, that made the Pope the head of the Catholic Church and gave him the charism of infallibility. They don't believe Jesus, who's in the precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Holy Eucharist, which is shown in this miracle of Lanciano today, where the bread turned into myocardial tissue and the wine turned into blood. They don't believe in that Jesus. They don't believe in a Jesus that was born of an ever-Virgin Mary. They don't believe in a Jesus that was born of a Mary that had no stain of sin. I'm sorry, pal. That ain't the true Jesus. So I told him, you Protestants don't even believe in the true Jesus. You're not even on first base. Now, when you believe in... He understood it right away. He did. He was pretty good will. He said, oh, I understand what you're saying then. Your Catholic Jesus, because he believes all these different things, can't be the same as our Jesus or the Protestant Jesus. He was kind of lost, his kid. Non-denominational. He's floating around looking for a church to go to. He was looking. I said, don't go nowhere. Go to my website and start studying it. I said, because the Catholic Jesus tells us in Matthew 19:17, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. You don't just have to believe in Jesus. That's not enough. Believing in Jesus in that context means believing in everything he teaches, believing in everything he says. Jesus said, if you want to get into life, you have to obey all of his commandments, all 10 of them. You guys know how to count out there? Count them. All 10 of them. If you're breaking any one of them, you're in mortal sin. Any 3 of them, you're out of the church. If you're breaking the first one, if you're breaking any of these, you're committing sins of immorality. And even Catholics who are in the church, who hold the faith, if they break any of the commandments against the morals, morally, they're on the road to hell. And that's why I tell you, most Catholics even go to hell. So I tell this Protestant, he understood it. He understood it. He's confused, you know. And he seemed to be of good will. He wants to go around and preach and all that. He seemed to have some zeal. Mm-hmm. Reminded me of that kid, Rob Lopez, that we met here. And I explained that to him. I said, so we're talking about during the New Covenant era, Jesus. But the Jewish people and during the Old Covenant were God's chosen people. Their purpose was to bring the Messiah to power, to pave the road for Jesus Christ. John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. Without the faithful Jews, there is no salvation. There isn't. Jesus, the ultimate faithful Jew. Mary, the ultimate faithful Jew. Whom the other Jews, the evil Jews, rejected. Jew on Jew. Evil Jew, good Jew. I want people to start learning to use that J word a little more. And stop being afraid of it. Like that bum Gary Potter that was afraid to use the J word when I gave that speech. Brother Richard Ebrani is going to speak about a certain group of people, and then he called them separated brethren, no less, you know, and he couldn't get out the J word. Well, Richard will tell you who he's going to speak about. And I got up, and I should have said this, but I didn't. Garrett, this was way in the beginning when I was, when I did my first speech ever public down in Berlin, New Jersey. And I got up and said, Gary, I should have said, get the marbles out of your mouth. The word is Jew. Marbles out of the mouth! I want to tell you, I know I don't think I ever told anybody's story, and I think I got to tell it to you because it's worth repeating. We were at one of those Catholic rendezvous held by Bill Kinesi up in Connecticut. That's the first time I ever met these guys, and I was invited to go down. And when I was praying, and I was all alone in Newark, New Jersey, and I knew God was calling me to do something. I didn't know what. I didn't know how. And then God says, you're gonna do more writing than speaking, but you're going to speak also. And then I said, how? Nobody even knows me. I'm in Newark, New Jersey, 517 North Street, all alone. How am I going to ever do this? But God was giving little signs to these other people, so they were interested in, I was starting to come back, I was converting. So I met this Gary Potter and these other people, this Bill Kinesi rendezvous. I think he had a lot of these traditionalist conservatives, so-called Catholics, at these particular meetings. He'd have guys like Warren Carroll, who's the guy? Carl Keating, I think, might have went to one of them. I don't know if he did. But he used to have all these. Bill Maher was the big shot, Bill Maher and all them. Anyway, when I went there, I met this guy, Gary Potter. And I was talking about the Jews, because that was my biggest thing in the beginning, because I said, everybody's afraid to talk about the Jews. I read the scriptures. Jews kill Christ. Evil Jews, are evil who don't believe in Jesus. That's one of our ABCs. Like if you're learning math, if your children are learning math, how much is 2 plus 2? It's 4. That was no big deal to me. Every time I said that, whoa, an uproar. I went, what did I say? They were acting like, we'll get back, I'll tell that other story too. I don't know if I ever told them, I was in Father William Ashley in Pequannock, New Jersey, when he took over that chapel that was owned by Father Wickens, was running it, and he turned it into the Fraternity St. Peter Chapel. And I was there once with Walsh. He's the big one, Keep the Faith guy. He owns Keep the Faith. William Maher was there. He's dead now and in hell, burning forever. And some of these other big shots, these conservatives. Well, they were talking to this guy, Bill Maher, gets up, he's talking about hell. The whole sermon about hell. Well, nobody talked about hell. And we have to talk a little more about hell. I said, pretty good. We got to talk about hell. So then at the end of the sermon, I raised my hand. I said, for instance, nobody ever says the evil Jews that don't believe in Jesus are on the road to hell. Oh, no. Brandy's always talking about hell. Father Ashley jumps up and he goes, you're always talking about hell. I said, always talking about hell. Nobody talks about hell. I said, did I say something wrong here? Are the evil Jews going to hell or not? What's wrong with you? And then even Bill Maher's daughter raised up her hand. She goes, well, I think he's right what he's saying on this one. And he cut me to it. Then all of a sudden he gets up and I says, well, am I right or am I wrong? What's going on here? He gets up and he goes, the next thing you're going to be doing is if women come in here without veils on their heads, and for the first time you're going to club them over their head. I said, women with veils on their head? Did I ever say that? Where did you get that from? You changed topics. You're a Weisenheimer. We're talking about, we know how people change topics when they don't want to talk about it. Then he went, that's it. The question session is over. Everybody, on your knees, and I'll give the final blessing, and everybody goes home. Now, when I said, if the Jews that don't believe in Jesus are going to hell, William Walsh, I think, not William Walsh, what's his name? I just said his name, Walsh. What was his name?
Mark.
No, it's not William, I don't think. Howard Walsh. He's long story in him. He's a real bad guy on the conservative side with Father Baker and the so-called Jesuits down here in New Jersey. Well, he was in the back after I said that. He put his head between his legs. Everybody cringed. Everybody went nuts. I'm walking out of the back of the church after it's all over. I went, well, and a lot of the guys that I knew were with me, and they heard this. And I'm walking out of church. And I think this guy, Jim Cramer or Bill Cramer, but his last name is Cramer. He was like the guy that ran the church. He came up to me secretly. And it like, well, he comes in and he goes like this. And he goes, congratulations, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. And then I went like this. What's wrong with you? What did I say? Why are you whispering? I was in shock. It was like I got up and I was fighting some heavyweight or something and we're going at it or something. I said, all I said was the evil Jews that don't believe in Jesus are going to hell. I didn't do nothing heroic. It wasn't. Aren't we all supposed to believe that? Now, maybe because they didn't grow up in the street and they're a bunch of cowards. God told me when I was converting, it's true. He said he hates a coward. He can never work with a coward, ever. A coward has no hope. He's not even on first base. Give me a guy who's not a coward, he's overzealous, maybe misguided. I can bridle that horse and use his energy for the good. Believe me, that's what God kept telling me, a coward. Well, that came home to me. I went, what did I say? That was the last time I ever went to that chapel. Bye-bye. I ain't going. And this is my progress down the road. But that's what happened in that particular chapel. But getting back to the Gary Potter thing in the when I met him at the Catholic rendezvous, they were, let's speak to Rich and find out, you know, he's got some zeal. I think they understood that God was calling me to some mission. One guy even told me, he says, well, we don't know if it's from the devil or if it's from God. I said, well, fine, you can be suspicious. I don't expect somebody to come in and say, everything Rich is doing is from God or maybe it's from the devil. I said, but until I do something that's wrong or I'm doing something not correct or saying something wrong, fine. I said, you know, but they knew it. That's why they were inviting me to go speak. How could that ever happen? I mean, I went to one conference that they had something. They invited me into the bar and I met these guys and they invited me to the conference. To that rendezvous, not a conference yet. So I start talking to him. I'm talking to Gary Potter about the Jews. And I said, the hardest thing I ever had was when God was converting me, I was talking against the Jews and the Mafia. Mafia was nothing. They were nothing compared to the Jewish thing. And JP II, John Paul II was in power then, the apostate anti-pope John Paul II. Those two issues got me in the most trouble with the devil even. I'm not talking about humans even. I got beat up by every devil in hell because I can't even explain to you right now what happened there. But the devil was racking me, trying to get me to stop talking about the Jews. And every time he did that to me, I got more angry. I said, now I'm going to go out 10 times tomorrow, 10 times more. So you hit me again, I even said to the devil, you better kill me because I'm going to expose you. Now, the Jew thing, I'm just trying to impress the thing how this spell's been cast over the world on the Jews. I always tell the people, I'm not a racist, I'm a Jew. I'm a Hungarian Jew, so I'd be condemning myself. It has nothing to do with racism. If you're going to tell me all Jews are good, I say that's racism. John the Baptist says it's a racism. Remember the Jews came to John the Baptist, the Pharisees, and said, oh, we're Jews. And John said, so what? Just because you're a Jew racially, you're going to go to heaven? God can turn that rock into a Jew. That's racism. And the history of the Jewish race is full of evil Jews. So what happens? I go in there, and as I'm going down this is the spiritual battle I underwent before I met these guys even. It was my preparation for this battle. So I'm over here at the Catholic rendezvous talking about the Jews. And then they said, Richard, we like what you're saying. We would like you to come down to Berlin, New Jersey. That's when Brother Joseph of the Tao was running a monastery down there. And I was a layman, you know, of course, and he says, we'd like to have you come and give a speech on the Jews. I went, it's like a guy training his whole life. You know when you train for football, you're doing double sessions and all that, you can't wait to get into the game. I went, good. You know, so I wrote a thing up on it, and the title of it was something like, I don't remember my original title, but it was Conversion of the Evil Jews, or Apostate Jews Need to Believe in Jesus. And Gary said, Pat Potter, he's around, he says, that's a little too rough. A little too rough. Why don't you just say, Conversion of the Jews, or something like that. So, all right, not even the Jews. You'll see that I have the tape, and it was called Conversion and Prejudice. Jew wasn't even mentioned in it. Now, what I'm going to do is have you listen to this Gary Potter. We're going to do it. Yeah. You got to listen to this Gary Potter, what he said.
I'm sorry, there are, yeah. Presentation. I met Richie Brogni for the first time at another Catholic gathering similar to this, a Catholic rendezvous, one of the famous Connecticut Catholic rendezvous last November. Rich was not on the program, but I had an opportunity to speak with him at length afterwards and also to hear him speak with others. And I saw that he had vitally important things to talk about, including a subject that to me is one of the two or three most vital we can be talking about these days. And to put that in some focus, let me make the observation that we have six presenters at this conference this weekend. Two of them, Jerry Matitzix and myself, were born Protestant. Jerry went on to become a Protestant minister before his conversion. A third of our presenters, Joe Sobrin, was born Catholic, but as I think he would admit to you, I'm not telling anything here out of school, his family was not very ardent in their practice of the faith. Joe wandered away from it. He lapsed. So in effect, he too became a convert. So there we have it. out of our six presenters, just in this one place this weekend, three are converts. Richie Branye has some very important things to say on the subject of conversion. And I believe he's going to speak in terms of converting a particular group of our separated brethren. I'll leave it to him to explain in his talk what exactly I mean by that. Richie Branye.
Good morning, brethren. This morning I'd like to speak about conversion and prejudice, the necessity to convert the Jews in order to save their souls, and their prejudice in regards to Jesus Christ and His Holy Catholic Church.
Well, there you have it. That's Gary Potter with marbles in his mouth, trying to get out the J word, which never comes out of his mouth. Now, if you listen to that introduction, you have no idea what I'm going to speak about till I get up and tell you that it's the Jews. Now, one thing I got to make reparation for, that was my first sermon as a layman, and as I tell all the brothers, I wasn't in the Catholic Church for a long time after that. I was going down a long journey like Abraham when he was called out of the Ur of Chaldees. He first rejected the idols of his family, and then God spoke to him and started to teach him step by step. That's what was happening to me back then. What I should have said to Gary after that, what I would say now, and I'm going to say it now, he called them separating brothers. Gary, that's apostasy. The Jews are not our brothers. Brothers in that term means spiritual. The only spiritual brothers are Catholics, with Catholics. Now, everybody else out in the world is a spiritual brother, but of Satan. You only have it two ways. There's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of Christ, the God, and the kingdom of Satan. Everybody who belongs to the kingdom of Satan is a brother. A spiritual brother of the devil. Catholics are spiritual brothers because they're united in God. He called the apostate Jews spiritual brethren, but he didn't use the J word. That's what I'm talking about. So I should have first of all condemned him right there, which I would do today. I'm doing it now. You're apostate, Gary. They're not separated brethren. Everybody's got to try to smooth over the issue and so they don't hurt the feeling of the Jew because of this false claim of anti-Semitism. But you notice how hard it was for him to get those words out of his mouth? He didn't. He never got them out. You wouldn't even know what I was going to talk about. Richard's going to talk about the Jews. You talk to him privately, he's talking about the Jews. The reason I want to expose the traditionalists, because all privately they say things. Privately they will agree with you. Publicly, they take on a different color. They're like that false god Janus with two faces. They talk out of two sides of their face. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of cowards. The Novus Ordo Consilier so-called Catholics are better than them because they just come out and say, well, we believe the Jews, and they hold on a whole bunch of heresies. The Jews really are good. They're God's chosen people. JP2 said the Old Covenant is still in effect. Now, those are all apostasies and horrible things. But the traditionalists know that those things are wrong. They will privately tell you those things are wrong. Then they get up publicly and say nothing. Let Richard do all the work. I don't mind doing the work. I said in the beginning, who's willing to join up with me? It's that one verse in, I think, Psalm 93. What was that? How does it go? In the beginning of Strange Voices, Part 1. Oh. Unless the Lord had been my helper, my soul had almost dwelt in hell. Who will rise up for me and with me against the evildoers to fight with me? Now, the biggest thing is cowards. Because let Richard throw him out there and let them go after him. We have guys calling up saying, I agree with everything you guys are saying, but I don't want to be on the list. I said, you're already on the list, you idiot. You're in the camp of Satan. They don't even know. Satan doesn't hear you talking to us now and emailing. He doesn't read your heart. Satan can read your thoughts. He already knows what you're all about. Because you're a coward now, you will not be protected by God then. But I want to go to traditionalists even more than the Novus Ordo, because they're the ones that are, they have the true Mass sacrilegiously. They put the Mass before the faith. And I have to go on and add something to that little thing you heard there. Neither Jordy Matitix, nor Joe Sobrin, nor Gary Potter is Catholic. I'm sorry, Gary, you still haven't converted. And as far as I'm concerned, you're not even converting. You ain't going forward. You've been around a long time. It didn't take me too long once God called me. I just kept going forward. I wasn't in the church for quite a while, but I was taking leaps and steps forward. These guys been in the movement for I don't know how long, and they're swallowing down all the... Now, he'll come out and say, Richard has vitally important things to say. If you agree with them, open up your trap and say it too. Go along and confirm it. That's a hypocrite. That's a coward. These are the people, when I first came in God's show, I thought these are the guys, because outside, exterior looking, they look better than the conciliar clowns. The conciliar church people are really clowns. They're really bad too. They have clown masses. They have altar girls. I mean, that's a real charade. But these guys are more dangerous. Because anybody with a little bit of goodwill could look at that conciliar church and say it's no more than going to Barnum and Bailey's three-ring circus. Yeah. That's what it is. They're a bunch of freaks. The priests, they look, they're a bunch of pedophilia. And I'll tell you something, even the traditionalist movement, don't kid yourself, a lot of those guys are homos. Yeah. Even the City of the Conscious Church, where they're not Catholic, these guys are pedophilia too. The Roman curse is running rift. But here's a guy, all right? And then when you come out and say it, he doesn't back you up. And then he come out and say, well, he's a little extreme. One of the guys got up on there. I think it was, you know the guy in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Dolman?
No. The secular layman guy. You know the layman guy.
Yeah.
Precinct
guy? What's his name? The precinct.
The precinct guy, Cincinnati political guy, Jim Condit.
Condit, Jr.
Jim Condit. He's another one.
He's Condit, Jr.
I'm going to expose all you guys on Easter, okay? Because I still the brothers know about it, and I'm going to tell everybody about it. Jim Condit gets up there and he goes, "I was talking to Joe Sober and talking to," he says, "you know, we thought so and so wasn't a right hand side till we spoke to Ibrani. He broke the scale. He's so far to the right, he broke the whole scale. I ain't heard anybody like that. Because you're not really cat. Broke the scale. I'm really on the center of the road. Yeah. Really. The center of the road is a straight, narrow, rigid, in a sense of holding the commandments. It's a joyful road. It's a beautiful road, but you got to fight to stay on that road." He would have said the same thing about Charlemagne. About all King Stephen of Hungary that went out there and killed Muslims. Ooh, he killed people. The Blessed Mother at the Battle of Lepanto went before the army and gave them a victory, and they were cutting Muslims' heads off and putting them on spears. "One day I may have Freemason heads on my property around here," showing off the people. Some spears of Freemasons and Talmudic Jews. And every once a month you show your little thing here, our little trophies. That's what they did. I'm extreme. That's how feminine we've become. That's how weak we have become, that we will not willing to stand up and fight for Christ. I always say it. The spirit of martyrdom is twofold: to be willing to die for Christ and to kill for Christ. Kill, die for Christ. I'll show you St. Stephen's uncorrupted hand on this picture. You're going to look at it. St. Stephen, King of Hungary, uncorrupted. Take a look at that hand. Flesh all over it. That guy killed Muslims, and he converted Hungary to the Catholic faith. Who knows? One of my ancestors might have been back there, and that's when they came and it converted the Hungarian Jews. I don't know when we converted or whatever, but this is what the story is back then. Jim Condit, and he gets up there and goes, "Oh, I bring these right to, totally off the scale." Right? Off the scale. I spoke to you people privately, and you agreed with what I said, but then you don't want to come out and say it publicly. Even Jerry, when he gets up and gives a speech on the Jews, he's got to talk 15 minutes about so he doesn't offend them. Now, I don't hate the Jews. No, I love the Jews, and I don't want them to get angry at me. Please, Mr. Jew, now, don't get angry at me. Don't take my home away, my car away. I know you can do that. Don't get angry at me now. I just have to tell you, and he gives 15 minutes of that garbage before he then tells you a truth that, well, you really can't be said. Jerry will at least say the truth, but he pads it down with all this garbage, all this flowery stuff. You're not doing the Jew any favor. I know Jews. I grew up with them. They don't respect you. They hate me, but they respect me. And I'd rather have somebody respect me, really, because respect is the most important thing, the first in conviction. Yeah. I know how the Jews think about these guys. They're laughing all because they got their hands behind their necks moving as puppets. Yeah. They know it. They go, you don't even profess what you believe in. You're a sack.
Yeah.
People know I don't hate Jews. When I speak, I'm a Jew. They know I don't hate anybody. I've said that many times. But I love my God above all things, and I do abhor you right now because you're outside the church and you're blaspheming my God. But I am calling you to conversion. I don't care how evil you are. Why would I waste my time if I didn't even love them? But I'm going to tell the truth here. And the first thing to me is my God, my Catholic faith and religion, and my own soul. So there's the hypocrisy on this Jim Condit. It's not even done yet, Jim Condit. Get into more. When I go down into that Berlin Monastery in New Jersey, I didn't know about the City of Decomposition right away. Then later on, I start to learn little bits and pieces about it. And at the first one, I think, was Jim Condit who told me about it. And we're sitting down late at night in the monastery, on the kitchen table there in the monastery, and Jim Condit starts telling me about the City of the Conscience position. That, did you know, Richard, that if a pope is a public heretic, he can't become a pope, or if he is a pope, he loses his office? He says, that's why I don't believe John Paul II is the pope. I said, Jim, then how come every sermon you got up and you called him Pope John Paul II? And he did. Go back and listen to it. He says, oh, because Father Gruner said, that and Brother Joseph Natal, who was the running the monastery, if we ever call him an apostate antipope, we can never speak down here again. Father Gruner put the word out. Not even say he's an apostate antipope, you can't say even anything bad about him or negative. So when I came into the area on a mystical body of Christ crucified speech, I blew the lid off all that. Chaos, you know. But what happened was, I said, wait a second, Jim. You don't believe he's the Pope, and every sermon I ever heard out of your mouth or writing in your writing says he is the Pope. Now he's saying he isn't the Pope, I think. But I don't know if he is or he isn't, but I think he is. But back then, or at least he would say it maybe in his writings when he went back to Cincinnati, but when he came to the monastery, he would be Mumbles McGee. That's it. I am not going to talk. You know who did that? Jim Wardner. Like Dr. Jim Wardner, that hypocrite. He's another hypocrite.
James.
Dr. James Wardner. He's a hypocrite. He's another one. And I said, how come you... He told me, too. I said, you believe he's an anti-pope, too? Well, how come you called him the Pope? Yeah. Oh, you guys are hypocrites.
Yeah.
What, are you crazy? Why are you doing that? Well, I found out later on. But the first time I met Father Gruner, what a effeminate man. He wouldn't even look me in the eye. Yeah. Why? Because it was the demon in him.
Yeah.
It was the Lord God back to me up, shaming him.
Yeah.
Shaming him. Shaming him. Because he was the main one that would say, if you speak against John Paul II... we will no longer come down to your place and give conferences, because he was so famous, Father Gruner, and he has a big apostolate. And also that Howard Walsh gets into the picture again. He sent a letter to Joseph Natal telling him, if you ever hold the Sede Composition, I will withdraw all my support and nobody's coming down to your conferences. Even Jerry Meditick for 1 year was holding that position. And they banished him from going down to those conferences. And Jerry, after 1 year, he needed money, so he backed off the position and then believed he was the Pope again for a while. But now Jerry's at least believing he's not a Pope again. He's going down this journey. And Jerry's still going down this journey. He still hasn't come into the church. My point is to show you how afraid these people are of losing popularity, of losing... How many people went down there anyway? What are you losing? Who cares? I saw such hypocrisy coming into this movement that it was sickening. And St. Benedict Center, too. When I went up there in New Hampshire, I gave one speech, and that was my last speech, because I got up and railed John Paul II. At that time, I believed he was the Pope, because I didn't study the Sede Composition yet. I wasn't sure about it. I didn't have all the teachings. I was hearing all these different arguments, but I was nailing the bum. Because once I saw John Paul II's crimes, I didn't hold back. I was like a bull that was let out of a cage. Because all those years, I'm going to tell you, I thought he was okay. And I thought it was just the local bishops that were messing up. And when I saw what he did, and I read what he did, and I saw the pictures, I was just more than anxious to get out there and blast them. And they were over there trying to shut me up. And so when I went up to the St. Benedict Center, I got up there and I started condemning JP2 and his crimes. You know, and they were all uneasy, kind of. And they went, well, after the speech, they said, well, Richard, I don't think you understand. We maybe didn't tell you, but we don't talk about the Holy Father like that. I says, why? If he's committing public sins... why are you talking about him? That's not right. And when I got up there, I was getting ready to give my Mystical Body of Christ Crucified speech in Berlin, New Jersey, the big one where I had it all ready now. I was going to nail him. And I told him, I want you to come down and support me, to be with me, to be a voice behind me when I condemn this man. You know? Well, I didn't realize what I did up there was a shock to all them. They covered it up pretty good. They didn't show me how angry they were at it, because they were, but we just don't do that up here. You can talk about them somewhere else, but not here. And so it was the last time I ever publicly spoke up there. And then when it came for me to do the Mystical Body of Christ Crucified speech, not one person showed up. They banned him. They said, don't you ever go down here. He's talking against the Holy Father. Right? Well, he was evil. So I get up and give that speech, and that really blasted the lid off everything. That was my last speech down here. Brother Joseph says, I can't have you back here. Father Gruner's not going to come back here again. I met Father Gruner, too, in between us. It might have even been that weekend or something, or a weekend after that. And we went to the airport, taking the airport. He wouldn't even talk to me. He wouldn't even look at me. He wasn't even a man. He was a wimp. He was you're a little mouse. A little squeaky mouse. Isaiah 58:1. Cry out, cease not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their wicked doings, and the house of Jacob their sins. Have you done that, Father Gruner, you shyster, robbing people's money for a temporal peace? Have you ever denounced one of these crimes properly? You're all about business.
Yeah.
You're highly suspect of being a Jew or a Mason also. Nobody does what he does. He's running a business. He's got Jews running his advertising thing so he can pull money in all the time. All he talks about is temporal peace. Oh, let's get the consecration done or they're going to blow up the earth. They're going to take away your home. What about souls, Father Groener? Do people have immortal souls that need to be saved? What about blasphemy and heresy? What about kissing the Quran? Is that sort of like just a neutral thing when apostate anti-pope Jay Puttu kissed the Quran? To date, he has never really told anybody what that crime is. And so there he's guilty of that crime. These are the gangsters that I tell the brothers. I grew up in North with mafia people and all Italians and all these people, rough city. These mafia guys look like saints compared to these guys. I've never seen such liars in my life. I'm telling you the truth. Until I came into the traditional movement, they're cowards. They're liars. They're hypocrites. They lie with a lie that you can never believe. They have prejudices. All kinds of prejudice inside of them. All kinds of materialism inside of them. The elitists. It's like I always say, even like the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That they're it's rubbed off on these people in the hierarchy. People that get prestige in this United States are usually very friendly, or you don't get that high with the Judeo-Masons. And you develop their racial, their materialism, and their traits. These traditionalists are absolutely the worst liars that I've ever met. Ever. And so when I came into that arena, I couldn't believe all these lies that are going on. So after that mystical body of Christ crucified speech, that was my last one in Berlin, New Jersey. Brother Joseph calls me aside. I think it was the last one or close to it. I think it was. That was might have been the last one. People were coming in and threatening Brother Joseph that if you ever let that kid speak again, we're going to take donations away from you. We're not going to come to Mass there anymore. You're done for. Howard Walsh had him on the phone. They all called him up. Shut that Ibrani up and don't ever let him speak again. Brother Natal told me that. He wasn't ashamed to tell me. He felt bad even. He called me aside once. He goes, Richard, I like everything you say. I really do. He says, but I got a property upstate New York. And he showed me the blueprints. He's got all these buildings already on it. He didn't even have it. I said, Brother Joseph, is that what you're worried about? Because you're going to lose money? And you're not going to be able to build all these buildings? So you're denying the faith because of that? Ah, Brother Joseph, that's not pleasing to God. I says, look, even if you've got to move up on that property in an RV, so what? Once you start wanting to have money and everything's based upon that, you're out. And he died a week or 2 weeks later after that. And God killed him. His big thing, too, was he's going to be the big witness who's going to be around in the final days, and he's going to save the church. Little Wimpy McGee himself. Look, he didn't have to be a wimp. He has a free will. He chose to be a wimp. He chose to be effeminate. He chose to be a coward. You know, you choose those things. You know, and he didn't have to. I witnessed to him because God wanted me to get down there and do that second coming of Jesus Christ speech. And Brother Joseph said, Ibrani's not speaking again down here. So after he died, then Brother Michael. I'm not going to get into the whole story what happened with him, though. But then he was the superior, and I was under him. And he figured, hey, Ibrani, if he is one of the witnesses, boy, we're going to roll in the bucks. We're going to be popular. We're going to be famous. Miracles are all going to be happening. Boy, we're going to be famous. Brother Michael's all about being famous. Believe me, I know him. He doesn't care about human beings at all. I love him, don't care about him. I know him very well. So he let me do the second coming of Jesus Christ speech. And that's when all hell broke loose, literally through the people there. And he panicked because instead of being famous, everybody went nuts, doubly nuts. Then he said, I'm not going to, you know, and I want to, it's a long story on the Brother Michael thing, which I think maybe tomorrow we'll go into that. Let's save that for tomorrow. But let's finish the Brother Joseph Natal for now. And with Brother Joseph Natal anyway, that's what happened. And he killed him about 2 weeks later. And his big thing was, I'm going to be around in these final days, and he's going to be the one saving the church. Saving the church. With your attitude? Oh, Brother Richard, I like everything you said, and you liked everything I said, and it was true, but you don't want me to say it no more. So, should I get up there and lie? Should I lie? Should I blaspheme and speak heresy? Should I commit sins of omission, Brother Joseph? Is that what you're telling me? Before you get me to do that, I'm going to rip your skin off. We're going to go at it. I'll knock your face off and your head's going to go around the world like the moon. I'm not going to do it. No way! I'm not going to do it. I tell you, when I came up to do that second coming of Jesus Christ speech, I tell the brothers here, I felt like I was going, you know, like in the Indians when you go through a gauntlet and the Indians send you through the gauntlet? Well, because I tell you, I was just like a horse at a gate ready to go. You know, the bell ringing, it hasn't rung yet, and I'm just on that gate, you know? So then God rang the bell and I was ready to go up and speak in the second coming speech. I had like a gauntlet of people telling me, no, John Paul II really didn't do that, Richard. No, no, did you know that? We just were at an enormous little mass and there was a Eucharistic miracle. Using the new words of the consecration can't be because it's invalid, you know, when they use the new words. You know, they use all instead of many and all that. So John the Face throwing that in my face. And did you know this? And I'm going the gauntlet. And they're all trying to back me off so I don't nail this JP II, John Paul II. Then I even still thought he was a pope, but I nailed him. A bad pope, and I just condemned him for every crime he committed. So when I'm walking down that aisle, I had people coming on the right, I had people coming off. I was like an echo chamber to me. I just looked forward at that mic. I said, get out of me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm going up to the mic. Get out. I will listen to nothing. I'm going up to that mic, and I'm going to talk. And then I did, and that was it. Oh, then that was under Brother Michael when he was a superior. And then Brother Michael panicked. Boy, did he panic. Because Brother Michael's whole thing, as I said from the beginning, is... He's not greedy for money. He isn't. He wants money for one reason, to be famous. Yeah. He really does. This kid wants to be famous. He doesn't care about people, and maybe tomorrow we'll go on into more stories about him. But I will tell you that when I came in here, he figured, my brandy's in here, well, we're going to get miracles, we're going to have a lot of people. Well, everybody went nuts. Now, you know what he did? That coward? And I'm giving him blind obedience. I committed a lot of sins for 1 year with Brother Michael, for sins of omission and blind obedience. You know, and we'll get into that maybe tomorrow. But what happened was, I said to him after I did that, and I said, Brother Michael, I just laid a nuclear bomb on these people, according to their way of thinking. I want to go out and confront them. I want to teach them. I want to show them where they're wrong. I want to let them know the evidences, because I had it all lined up. Because at the same time during that week, I also had him put out a poster condemning the false apparitions of Father Golby and the Bayside people. He had all these freaky, charismatic people going there too. And I condemned every one of those apparitions. That was the same week I gave this Second Coming speech, and everything went nuts. And then he says, no, no, we're going to stay in the back. I don't want you talking to the people. And he wouldn't talk to the people. A layman, Mickey Galliano, had to confront the people, and they were almost banging the door down. They tried to knock the door down to get to us. And he came back and said, Brother Michael, you got to go out there. These people want to talk to you. They're angry. And I said, Brother Michael, what are you doing here? I want to go out and talk to these people. I don't care if they beat me up or throw stones at me. That don't bother me. I want to give them a chance to see the evidence. I want to show them and prove to him, and I want to confront them. I don't mind confronting people if I have a chance of converting them. I owe it to them. Oh, no, 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 Brother Richard. We're going to stay back here, and him too, locked up in the back room, and said, Mickey, tell him we're not going out there. Well, what happened was, the people stopped, no one came to Mass anymore, Brother Michael wasn't confronting any of them, wouldn't even talk to them, they were calling on the telephone, they were knocking on the doors, they were, can I please speak to Richard, or can I please speak to you? And complete isolation. And now right away, that should have been a real flag for me. But he's almost, stay away from that. And I had all the stuff lined up to show them where these apparitions were heretical and everything. You know, so there's another coward. His whole thing was popularity. Every time in the beginning when he did his own videos, he would call up people and try to get recommendations. So Father Malachi Martin says, Michael Diamond's video is one of the best videos I ever seen in the last century. Oh, I give it 5 stars. On a scale of what? 1,000 stars. Maybe. I give it 5 stars. He called them all up. He hardly get a recommendation because, can I get Father John O'Connor's? I'm going to talk to him about him maybe now. Can I get his recommendation? I highly recommend Michael Diamond's video. And then Michael Diamond, Father John O'Connor would put on his thing, Brother Michael Diamond highly recommends my video. How do I care who recommends videos? All I care about is God. What he cares about. That he gives me his seal of approval. You human respect seekers. Seeking the approval and the confidence of men to be flattered. For what? For what? That's the story of all these people, and they formed their little niche up there. And if you ever met these people in person, they're even more different than you'd ever imagine. And even with the Michael Diamond guy, he's as cold as a shark, that kid, in real life. He cares nothing about human beings whatsoever, believe me. He is possessed by such demons, and I don't know if I'll even tell the whole story this season, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll save it for another day. All right? But I'm just trying to tell you the hypocrisy. These people that are afraid to speak out against the way they should. Even now they hold back on the Jews to die a little bit. here and there. The only time they do it is when a lot of people get on them, they're going to lose some of their popularity, so then they say a little bit. Every time that guy ever did anything, it's because we're preaching against him, and then he's getting so indicted that he feels he has to then change his old position. But then he sweeps it under the carpet, makes like he never held it, never abjures from it, never says he was wrong, and just simply changes it. And still now he never goes far enough. The guy's a big hypocrite. He's going into the Vatican II churches and praying in communion with the apostate antipope rat man, who he says is an apostate, has the spirit of Antichrist. He told us the whole church is full of heretics. The priest is a heretic. That's where he goes to Mass. That's where he goes to Mass. Because when you start telling people they can't go to Mass, that's when you become very unpopular with human beings. Those beings I always keep telling you people that you better watch out for. Human beings. And that's who he's afraid. To lose human respect. Now, I'm paving the road for this for one thing, because we're going to be speaking about Jews more and more as we go along. I never stop speaking about it. And we're coming up to the point where the Antichrist is becoming more prominent. He's now making claims to Jerusalem. Total outward claims that apostate Talmudic Jews are now saying all Jerusalem belongs to us. And people need to speak up against that. You tell me if any of these traditionals are speaking out properly the way I am on this issue. I'm just trying to show you I've met these people. The kids I grew up in the street corner with have more hope of being saved. Our Lord said prostitutes and tax collectors will be saved before you, self-righteous bastard Pharisees. These kids on this street corner are used to scrapping.
Yeah.
They never lied compared to the lie. If they did lie and to one another, they got caught, you're going to get a punch in your face, you're going to fight. They might tell certain small kind of lies compared to these big lies. I've never seen such lies in my life until I came into the traditionalist movement. And such cowardness. You heard it here with Gary Potter. He was afraid to use the J word. He's possessed by demons that are holding him back. Look at the trouble Mel Gibson had when he did his Passion movie. That was a miracle that he was able to get that off base, and even he succumbed by taking out the blood be upon you and your children. He's even afraid of the Jews now. He's apologizing to the Jews all over the place. Every time he gets caught, he's going to go, I'll go to a synagogue and I'll sweep out the toilets to do penance for my sins against the apostate Jews. To show you that I'm really not an anti-Semite. Nobody, who's the other guy? Bishop Richard Williamson. Comes out and says a lot of good things about the Holocaust. Now he keeps his mouth shut in England. Don't say a word. Does this man love the truth? You're not a man. You're not a woman. You're a devil. I don't even want to call you an animal. Animals are better than you. You're a snake kind of an animal. What kind of a guy comes out and says what Williamson said? And he knows it's the truth. And then his fillet comes up and says, stop talking about the Jews in the Holocaust. They're nice people. We respect them. Keep your mouth shut. And he goes, oh, yes. Who's he serving? Who's he serving? Our Lord said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but me. And he says, adore the Father in spirit and truth. John 4:23. Adore the Father in spirit and truth. I will say that word truth. I will say that word truth again and again to you. And I will tell you, stop being afraid to speak up for the truth for the sake of saving your sappy flesh, because you're going to die anyway. That's how people convert, even pagans who are not in the church may hear my sermon now, maybe they don't, but I will tell you how Abraham converted, how the pagans convert. They start rejecting certain obvious falsehoods that are really odious, and they take a shot by going against their family members and their politicians, and they put their life on the line, even though they're not Catholic yet. They might not even know the Catholic God yet. God blesses that person. He gives them graces. He then says, good move, son. I'm going to move you into my church. God can never start moving you forward if you're afraid to lose your life to speak up for the truth. God promises that if you ultimately care about the truth and you're humble, you're going to end up in the true Catholic Church. Then, after I gave the Mystical Body of Christ Crucified speech in Berlin, New Jersey, I was invited back up to the St. Benedict Center, not to speak, because they wouldn't let me speak anymore. And when I got up there, it was a conference. I think the guy John McManus was up there, the guy who runs the Birchman Society. Matter of fact, he was one of the times I went there to speak, he was speaking also. And he was speaking about his democracy and Americanism, the John Birch Society. And after he spoke, I got up and just blasted him. His democracy, his stupidity, the heresy that he preached. I says, the Catholic Church is a monarchy, it's a hierarchy, and democracy is an illusion, it's a heresy. This guy thinks everybody has a right to sit down and vote and rule. That's chaos. I condemned him. But I met him up at the St. Benedict Center up there, and he came up and he's sort of going, oh, so you think democracy? I said, I know democracy is evil. He says, because God only supports a hierarchy of order where you have obedience to a hierarchic leader or a ruler. He says, you mean like King Henry VIII? I says, no. I said, if you have a bad king, it's only one guy messing up. At least you have that hierarchy of obedience. Democracy breaks down all obedience. It's unreal. It's fake. It's horrible. So I confronted him up there. But the big thing was when I went back up there, those brothers at St. Benedict's, it was Brother John, Brother Joseph, and Brother Andre, were at that time, they were so angry about me doing that, that Brother Joseph confronted me or something. He says, "You're going to go to hell for speaking out against the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II. I said, "Wait a second, Brother Joseph. I may go to hell, and I hope not. I don't want to go to hell. But if I do go to hell, it ain't going to be because of what I said about him. Because what I said about him is true. Did he kiss the Quran? Did he say the old covenant is still in effect? Did he put a Buddha on top of the tabernacle, or did I do it? And if he did do those things, is that okay? It's all fine. We can keep our mouths shut. We don't have to say anything. What are other people in the world going to think? What kind of Catholic are you that you keep your mouth shut when these blasphemies, even a pagan's going to sit back and say, this is weird. I'm not a Catholic. But I know what you guys believe in. How could you kiss the Quran that denies Christ? And here it says Jesus is just a man. He's not God. And there's other blasphemies in the Quran. So he's accusing me. Oh, you're going to go to hell. You're speaking against the Holy Father. Not about what I said. Not in that mystical body of Christ crucified thing, and I think because it was after that, or it could have even been after the second coming speech. I forget when it happened, but there was that confrontation. And you tell me if he did those things or not. Answer me. And are those things okay? That you can keep your mouth quiet when he commits a public sin like that? Then another time we went up there, me and Brother Michael, that was round one with those brothers, and we were even told, in a way, that they didn't really want you up there by some people, but other people invited us, so there was like a big split and a big fight going up there. So we got up, we drove all night, and we got up there, and Brother Andre again, Brother John, and Brother Joseph were in the kitchen when I walked into the mine, and they were just waiting to get at us, you know, and then Brother Andre just starts barking at me, right, and Brother Michael backs off into the back like a little coward against the wall, don't say anything. And Brother Andre goes, "You're talking against the Holy Father. You're even if he does commit something wrong, you're exposing the sins of your father." I said, "Exposing his sins? Everybody knows about him. How do I know about his crimes? I'm in Newark, New Jersey. I don't live in Rome. How do I know about it? Because it's all over the place. He doesn't hide it. He's proud of it. It's in his encyclicals. It's in every action that he goes out when he prays with non-Catholics and he glorifies them. It's not a hidden crime." Then he came out and he said something like, and I said, "If your father was out there molesting kids, pedophile, you're going to cover up your father's sin for the sake of your father's reputation?" That's what I told him. "Are you going to go out there and condemn your father and let everybody know what he did so he doesn't do it to nobody else?" And he was barking, and I was barking. We were ready to go at it, and I was ready to go. I said, "You do it. I'm gonna get one of you. I'll knock your face through the wall." And then I know Brother John probably would have jumped on me. Brother Joseph, maybe I would have got a beating. Who cares? But they're gonna have to fight because we were at it. Yeah. And he was like this. I'm like that. Don't touch me. I'll put your nose right through your skull. Maybe now even. You're on there. That's how much. I said, "What are you, crazy?" I said, "His sins are public." Yeah. Public. Yeah. The Zulu in Africa knows that he kissed the Quran. Yeah. They have little mobile phones and TV things they look at. Are you kidding me? Who doesn't know he did these things? What kind of people are these? Yeah. Holy brothers, holy monks. We're holy, you're holy, you're not holy. You got holes in your head. That's what you got. I wish you had holes from bullets in your head.
Even the Greeks.
We'll give them a lobotomy.
Yeah.
That kills them. Yeah. That's how much I disdain these people. Yeah. And I will tell you, I abhor them more than the Jews, more than the Protestants, because they call themselves Catholic and they're not. Please don't call yourself Catholic because you give my Catholic God a bad name. You give him a very bad name because that's not the Catholic Church and that's not the Catholic faith and that's not the Catholic God. He don't go for that stuff. The first commandment, "I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no strange gods before me. See that I alone am, and there's no other God besides me, for I kill, I make to live, I strike, and I heal, and there's no God or no one else that can deliver out of my hands. I am the only God," and he hates idolatry, blasphemy, heresy, apostasy. Everything I said in that second coming tape, and even that mystical body crucified, is true. He did it, not me. And that's the story that went up there. And that was, and then Brother Francis Maloof comes in, and that guy is all disheveled. He saw there was going to be a brawl breaking out there, and he came over to try to calm the brothers down. He looked sick of heart. And Brother Michael, not only was he up against the wall, he finally ran and hid like a little coward. He hid. Yeah. That was one of the worst nights, too, because it was late at night. We had to sleep there. Didn't sleep one bit. And, but one thing he did is we woke up in the morning and said, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's hit the highway. They even came in and invited us to go to Mass. But I'm not going to want to go to Mass. That was the last step. That was the end of that. And then we found out later on, Brother Francis Maloof believes that Muslims worship the true God. And you people are still up there under that bum. And he's highly suspect. He already told me that he was a Freemason and converted. I think you might still be one. But if you're not, you act like one.
Yeah.
You act like one. Yeah. That you come up and tell us that Muslims worship the true God. And all these people, they're supposed to hold the dogma, the salvation dogma, the St. Benedict Center, Father Finite, the Finites. They inherited his dementia. They inherited his heresy. His weakness himself, even. He wasn't strong enough. His papalatry. Go ahead and see what's going to happen to every one of you when you die, because I guarantee you're going to go straight to hell. You want to character assassinate me, you can do that all you want. I ask you one thing. If what I'm saying is true or false, you don't let... I talk too fast. I talk too high. I heard everything. My brain talks too fast. What am I supposed to go down south and talk like a southerner? Then I got to go to an Irish and talk to an Irishman? And I got to change my accent for wherever I go? I used to tell people, just slow up the video if I go too fast. Slow it up. Or get a transcript. It's never to talk too fast. No, it really isn't. It's... But I tell you what it is, though. One thing there is, pseudo-intellectuals don't like the way I talk. Because they're taught in Oxford how to talk. They don't like this stuff. They're always crude. They're like, Estrika, you sound like a poor fisherman or some dummy. Well, fine. I don't care. But St. Paul said, I speak very crudely, but I have great knowledge of God. Yeah. You read my books.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging or anything. I have a simple faith. It's not... I hate this scholasticism. The brothers know that. But God, I'm glad he's given me this kind of a voice. Because go, leave. If I got up in front of Oxford, I think they'd leave in 1 minute. I might not even get out one word. They go, what? Yo. What is this guy's an animal? What? But it's, oh, look, it's crazy. Bye, Mr. Oxford. God hates that. That pseudo-intellectual flattery, effeminacy, puffed up. They're experts at hypocrisy. They're experts at diplomacy. I have people in that one speech you can see where they come in and say, well, I'll give you that, Richard. You're not a diplomat. I says, no, I'm not a diplomat. And God didn't call me to be a diplomat. When it comes to the faith, when it comes to political things, maybe. When it comes to the faith, you can't be a diplomat. But even then, even if you are a diplomat, you're not supposed to lie and tell these bold-faced lies. These people train how to lie. They know. They get up and they give a sermon. Like if... We had some famous people in here right now, though. We're not famous. We're all bums. Everybody here from the world, but simple bums. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, people don't like to be called bums. Too bad. But they get up and they always got to give this, jury matter to whoever it is. They get up and go, I'd like to welcome the distinguished Michael Davies from England. He has a PhD and a DDD and a CCC and a 53C895. And he's got a degree from Oxford and he's taught at... this university, and that one, I'd like to thank Father Grun over here who went to the Angelicum in Rome, and he has a DD and a CDD and a theology, and then he got a diploma, and he's got about 10 diplomas. And I'd like to think, now all these guys are they're heretics, and they even refute one another, because one guy will say, this is heresy, and he holds the heresy, and they're friends. But the whole idea is to get up and let's flatter the people. I agree if you have if it's an ecclesiastical thing, you have a pope or a bishop, you have to give them the honor. I agree with that. I'm not talking about that. They go on and they just lay the flattery on. It stinks to the high heavens. Then the guy gets up and he takes a bow. Oh, did you get my new book? My new book. Ooh. I can't stand them. This is my year to get back at you guys. Now, anybody who knows about them knows it's true.
Yeah.
But if you're like them, you wouldn't even be listening to this sermon. If you're like them, the sermon would have been off already. Anyway.
Yeah.
And one little short thing to show you that these guys up there are pseudo-intellectual scholastics of the heretic Aquinas type. When I went up there, I met Brother Francis Moose several times, and... He gives me a book, you know, and he goes, he's real proud of it, and he goes, this is one of my most famous books, and I took a lot of time doing this, and it's called Philosophy Perennis. Well, he doesn't know who he's giving that book to, you know? I should have really rebuked him, you know, but I wasn't as much with the philosophy as I am now. But I took the book, and he said, I went, oh, man, that's just the stuff I hate. but I didn't read it, and I didn't say anything to him, but I brought it home, and I filed it away. I never even opened it. Never even read one page of it. And he came back and said, did you read my book yet? No, I didn't get a chance to read it. But I should have really condemned him. But if knowing what I know today about philosophy and all that. But I always hated philosophy, but that's where his mindset is. Very philosophical with the philosophy, the Aristotle's, the Plato. And he's proud because he gave his contribution to philosophy. He can put his name next to Aristotle and Plato in hell for all eternity. He can do that. That's what he can do. You know, and you told me a lot about the guy though when he did that. I went, oh, this is sappy, man. I didn't even open the book. I just completely, once I wanted to just open and read one page and sort of see what was in it, I didn't do it even. I can't stand this stuff. But it's the philosophy thing that is really bad. Okay, I think that's about it for the St. Henry Center. All right, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.